Hello and welcome to New Books in Education. I'm Trevor Matea, one of your hosts on the channel. Today we'll be talking to Lee Goodkind about his book, What I Didn't Know, True Stories of Becoming a Teacher. Lee, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Trevor.
I'm wondering if we can begin the interview by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your work.
Sure. I have kind of three different jobs in my life, all related to writing and literature, creative nonfiction almost exclusively. I write books, have written or edited maybe 30 or 35 books, all in the true story vein. I have written about riding across the country on a motorcycle, spending a year with a crew of National League baseball umpires. I have immersed myself in liver transplant unit for 4 years and kind of did everything that except have a transplant that happens to people that go through the experience. And I traveled, jetted through the night on organ donor runs and spent lots of time in operating arenas, and have also written about child mental illness, and in the same vein by hanging out in psychiatric institutions. So I've done that kind of writing and continue to do that kind of writing, and I've written a couple of memoirs as well. So I do that. I also am the founder and the editor of Creative Nonfiction Magazine, which is now a nonprofit foundation. We publish books, and we have a new magazine called True Story, which is a magazine that that publishes in a very small way one long-form narrative nonfiction piece each month. And we do conferences and things of that nature all across the country, as do I personally. And finally, I am a writer in residence at Arizona State University, and my home base is in Washington, D.C. for ASU. And again, I teach and I kind of work on special projects. The project I'm working on now is to help people who have an interest in both science and religion and true stories to figure out how to write about the harmony between, in a true story manner, between science and religion. And that's kind of what I do with all the books that I edit, including the one you want to talk about. I look for people who have boots on the ground experience and academic experience, and try to show them and help them appeal to general interest readers. So it's people who know a lot and usually are much more used to talking to the choir, their colleagues, but I try to get them to talk to the world.
And so while you're not a K-12 teacher yourself, I'm sure this project gave you a lot of time to sort of reflect on your beliefs about primary and secondary education. And so I was wondering which of your experiences, either as a student or as an adult who knows and works with teachers in those contexts, have most shaped your views on the purpose of schooling.
You know, it's a funny thing, and I talk at high school graduations from time to time. And the thing about that is I was a horrendous high school student. I graduated in the lower fifth of the fifth of my class. I think as I look back in my life, I realized that was probably one of the worst periods of my life, being in high school. And so getting a chance to interact and talk with teachers now, and of course understanding that things in schools, in many schools across the United States, are much worse than they were when I was going to school, has appealed to me, and getting involved in this project has kind of helped me to understand what it's like on the other side of the desk, the person whose back is to the chalkboard rather than facing a bunch of students who may not want to be there and certainly don't sometimes even know why they're there. So it's been a unique experience for me.
Of all the people you could write a book about, how did you choose teachers? And would you say your audience is other teachers or people outside of education?
Well, of course, there are what, maybe 3.5 million teachers in the United States today, and my audience certainly is other teachers, to see if they can share their experiences in a way that other students, that parents, that people, all the people across the United States and the world will be able to understand. And so that's kind of what I had hoped for. If I know you know this, if you kind of look around at the books available about education and the books available just about the teaching experience, most of those books are more academic. Most of the books talk to have academics talking to academics, but I wanted teachers to be able to communicate to each other and to the world about what happens to them in the classroom and how they change as their experience goes on.
That was actually something I was thinking about, is that reading a narrative is very different from reading academic research or an article in the newspaper. So it sounds like you're trying to cultivate an understanding of what it's like to be a teacher.
You know, there have been tons lately of reader studies about the effectiveness and the importance of storytelling. And for example, people remember literally more information about whatever the given subject is when that information is communicated within a story rather than just presented in exposition to a reader or to a listener. And so so that's the whole idea behind creative nonfiction, in fact, that we want to be able to use story as the style or as the reason for someone to be really interested in a subject that they may not necessarily be interested in. And the story also gives a writer the opportunity to tell things that go beyond the academic world and go beyond the information, to introduce characters, to describe students, to describe colleagues, and the entire milieu, what is all going on around them. The story really gives the writer the opportunity to present their world in a three-dimensional fashion.
I'm wondering if you can share a couple of examples of the narratives you have in the book.
Sure. I know that you talked with Michael Kopperman not long ago, and he's a Stanford graduate. He went into Teach for America, and he was incredibly challenged by the violence and the seriously troubled kids that that he was confronted with. And he had a very mild background. I believe his father was a physician, and I believe he grew up in a good went to a good school and had a comfortable life. And the essay he wrote and the experience he had was incredibly eye-opening and traumatic. He had a troubled student that he kind of tried as hard as he possibly could, using all of the techniques he learned in college in order to kind of connect with the student. And the student was, it was just impossible to make a connection with this student as hard as he tried. And there's a scene in the book that just kind of takes your breath away. Because it was a time when at one point he thought he had connected to this student just for a moment, and at another point the student was so angry at Michael that the student actually spit in his face, and the student and Michael reacted in a way that was somewhat violent, but realized at the time that the student listened to him. He made a connection with that student at that moment, and yet he realized that the student couldn't stay in that school or with him at any time after that. So it was at a moment an awareness that he was unable to to do any good, and at the same time, he learned a great deal about how he could conduct himself in the future. So so that was it was an incredibly moving story, and there was another essay that I enjoyed a lot because it had to do with the use of vulgarity, swearing in class, and the teacher hating that so much and fighting with her students constantly over this use of the F word and the S word and every single word in throughout the class, until the teacher finally realized that there were two ways to think about, and it took her 2 years to do this, two ways to think about using this language. One way was to think that sometimes language is used to be offensive, and sometimes language is actually used as a way of emphasizing something, bad language, I mean, as a way of emphasizing or giving color to a student's feeling about one another. And so that realization helped her, and she decided at one point that anytime anyone in class used the F word or any other word, that they would, in an offensive way, that they would have to find a vocabulary word that they could define for the rest of the students, and talk about what that word meant. And slowly but surely, people stopped swearing in her class. And even when she did, she was able to hold on to it and deal with it and discuss its meaning. And she said, that by the end of the time, the end of the class, very few people were using bad words at all, except when they wanted to force a fellow student to go to the box to pick out a vocabulary word to see what it all meant.
How do you think the narratives about teachers in this book are a continuation or a departure from narratives you've published in your other books and publications?
You know, that's a great question, telling a story, writing a narrative, as I said before, allows a writer to become themselves and look inside of themselves to find out what it is they think and what it is they believe and what it is they see, and put that all together. And so I have done, perhaps 10 of these anthologies, focusing on not just teachers, obviously, but focusing on nurses, focusing on the challenges, two anthologies, on the challenges of fighting your way through mental illness. One of those anthologies was written primarily by mental health professionals, psychiatrists and social workers and psychologists and psychiatric nurses who had in fact suffered through their own mental illness crisis and found a way to rehabilitate themselves and decided to help other people by joining the profession. And the other book was from people who were primarily patients and their fight to kind of find an answer through the difficult challenge of mental illness. But in every case, new worlds are created. In the teacher's book, we readers get into the classroom and relive the dynamics that the teachers have lived through as they go through their day and as they go through their semester. And the same thing holds true with the nurses. In many respects, the teachers and the nurses are very similar because of the challenges they have to face, not only from their patients or their students, but as you well know, the system is a challenge, and the administration is a challenge, and the rules are a challenge. And the patients don't much care about the rules, nor do the students, in fact. So the situations may be different, nurses, teachers, people who suffer from mental health difficulties, but the ability to be able to paint a portrait in words and tell a narrative story that has suspense and has real people involved and has action, sounds, noises, words, all of that, it's all very similar. No matter, you know, I would do a, I would love to do other anthologies from the points of view of people who work at Walmart or people who work in convenience stores. We all have incredible stories to tell, and we all need the opportunity and the time and the direction to tell them. And the challenge is to tell a story that all that that also teaches, that also informs at the same time. The words creative nonfiction can be determined or defined as a combination of style and substance. The style, which is the story, brings the reader into the depth of the experience, and the substance is the big idea, what you want to teach your reader once you've got them hooked on the story you're telling.
I'm curious what you found these teachers who were interested in telling a story, what did they come to you with, and what kinds of supports did they need to write something that was ready to publish?
Well, you know, let me take a step backward and say that so many, I have communicated obviously with each of these authors, and some of whom teach writing, not all of them, but some do. And what they complain about and what they wish they had learned more as they were being educated is how to write for a general audience. They do learn how to write for one another, and they do learn how to teach their students how to write the five-paragraph essay or research papers. But very seldom do students get the – education students, did these teachers get the chance to practice storytelling, even though they stood up in class every day and in many ways made political science and history and literature, turned those ideas and the things they needed to teach into stories. They rarely got a chance, unless they took elective credits, to learn how to do that for their students in writing. And so many of them came to me with terrific ideas and with stories they were really, really primed to tell, but they didn't quite know how to tell them. And so we worked, Hattie Fletcher, who's the managing editor at Creative Nonfiction, and I worked with them quite carefully to help them take their raw experiences and turn it into a flowing, moving, well-timed narrative from beginning to end. And that's a challenge, you know. I hate to say it's easier to write fiction, but in many ways it is easier to make something up than to tell a true story and to write it almost as if it is fiction. And so the teachers that came to us had these stories, and we helped guide them. We didn't tell their stories. They had their own stories, and their stories were vivid and powerful. But what the help we give is to get them to understand the structure of creative nonfiction and how to attract a reader, get a reader interested, involved, and communicate with them the important ideas they want to tell at the same time, and get the reader to stay with them and their story, not just for five paragraphs, but for 4,000 and 5,000 words. And so we went back and forth with these teacher writers a number of times. And I think that we learned a great deal about what it was like to be in the classroom or to be part of an administration in a K-12 school. But I think they learned at the same time the challenge of putting together a story that that sells and tells and informs and compels all at the same time.
Lee, I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions. First, what are three other books you might recommend to our listeners if they've enjoyed What I Didn't Know and our conversation today?
Well, the book I mentioned to you about nurses has done extraordinarily well, and is similar, as I said, in this way, in many ways. And it's called I Wasn't Strong Like This When I Started Out, True Stories About Becoming a Nurse. So, and this is quite similar to the book we're talking about here, What I Didn't Know, True Stories of Becoming a Teacher. And so the nurse book I would definitely recommend. And there are so many other collections. Let me name some writers for you who write terrific narrative nonfiction. Of course, the king of it all of this form is a guy named Gates Elise, T-A-L-E-S-E, and although he's not writing about education, he is a master nonfiction storyteller, and who kind of coined the phrase "the art of hanging out," and he spends many months and sometimes years writing about people who are famous and people who are behind the scenes not famous, and learning from a very personal point of view how people work and what people think. And so anything by Gates Elise would be appropriate. You could go to his website, by the way, and read this long piece called Frank Sinatra Has a Cold. And it was written many, many years ago, but a couple of years ago, and it was published in Esquire magazine, and two or three years ago, Esquire celebrated the 75th anniversary and decided to republish the best piece it ever published. And Frank Sinatra Has a Cold was the piece they selected. So, and if you don't mind me also recommending a book that I wrote about the genre, it's called You Can't Make This Stuff Up, and it tells you absolutely everything anybody needs to know about how to write, research, and write and market a true story.
Finally, can you tell us a little bit about your next project and how we can follow your work?
I've just finished another memoir, and I don't know when that's going to be published, but hopefully within the next year. But right now, I am devoting myself to the world of child and young adult mental illness. 25 years ago, I wrote a book called Stuck in Time, The Tragedy of Childhood Mental Illness, and that's still available. And I decided to go back into that world after reading about the awful killings, massacres that have been taking place over the past 3 or 4 years in the United States. Young people, mostly boys, young boys from anywhere from the age of 18 to 24, who are literally out of control and angry and taking it out on society. And so I went back. I have now gone back into that world to try to understand what's happened to our system of caring for kids who are challenged by mental illness and the parents who also have to take care of them. And so that's a book on, that's the book I'm working on now. These books take a very long time. The teachers, of course, were teachers for a long time, so they had a great deal of background and many stories to tell. But what I do is I immerse myself for long periods of time in different milieus, as I did riding a motorcycle, which took me 3 years, or writing about robots, which is a book I did 4 or 5 years ago. And so I will probably be spending the next 2 or 3 years immersing myself in all of the different ways in which we treat or do not treat kids and young adults with mental illness, and talking to nurses, legislators, lawyers. It's interesting to know and to note, as I am discovering, and every day is a new discovery, it's interesting to note that, and also teachers who do not get the kind, teachers and counselors who do not get the kind of training and experience that they should get in order to treat kids who are troubled with a mental illness diagnosis. So I'll be spending a lot of time doing that and hoping to write something that will make an impact not only in the world of education, but in the world of mental illness, mental health as well.
That's an important topic, and we look forward to that release. Lee, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk about what I didn't know and also about the work I do.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Take care.